FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. Happy New Year. It's January 2nd, 2018. I don't know about you, but I had an incredible New Year's Eve. I was hanging out with Rick Ackerman. You know him well. Great market timer, great market analyst, and also an educator. Great writer, too. We were in Palm Beach County. We rang in the new year, and just had an all-around great time, and I am so optimistic. I'm so upbeat for the coming year. That's irrespective of whatever the economy might do. I have no idea what the economy is really going to do. Well, yes, I do. I think it's going to be better. I think certain events and forces are coming into play, and look, the upcoming revolution here in Iran looks like it's very bigly. I mean, you're looking at more than 40 cities. People are taking to the streets. They have had it. They are fed up. There is always something called the consent of the governed. And that means that no government, even the government of North Korea, can rule, can lead without the consent of its citizens. So you're seeing that consent really being withdrawn for the last time, and the people are just not going to take it. And you can look for a similar event to occur once Iran falls. Venezuela is going to be close behind, and North Korea after that. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen. In the meantime, hey, I'd be very remiss if I didn't mention gold. Now, as Mickey Fulps says, seasonally, gold goes up in the end of the last quarter of the year to February, roughly. And I totally agree with Mickey. You can see it's happened roughly 80% of the time in the past couple of years. But I believe that this upturn, rather than being just an intermediate up, is the beginning of a major move in gold. RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, Giroux sees gold hitting 1,400 by the end of 2018. I think metals are really going to take off the coming month. Look, whether it's the deep state, whether it's the Iranian theocracy, or the commie bastards that run Venezuela, none of them are just going off quietly into the night. There's a lot of unintended consequences, a lot of things that can go wrong, a lot of things that will go wrong before this eventually happens. I think we will see increased seismic activity. It appears that that's the trend. Whether that means a quake in California, I can't really say. Look, January 1st, California legalized the sale of recreational marijuana. So if they have the big quake, at least they're going to be high and they probably aren't going to notice it. I mean, this is a little strange thing, an aside about me. I always wanted to experience an earthquake, a minor one, like a 5.0, just because I had never done it before and never felt the earth shake beneath my feet. And one time, I'm in San Francisco 20 years ago, and they actually have a 5.0 quake outside of the city. And it happened at 5 a.m. And supposedly, you could feel you could just feel the earth moving, except I slept through it. So a couple of years ago, this is like 6-7 years ago, we had an earthquake. We're talking on the phone to some people in York, Pennsylvania, and they said, "You're not going to believe this. We're having an earthquake. Everything's falling off the desk here." I mean, it was pretty heavy there. It was like high fours. And I'm in Westchester. I'm in a building that's built literally on bedrock. And all of a sudden, that building starts shaking. So we all like leave the building. I wasn't really apt to do it because I didn't think we were going to get the big one at that particular point. And we go outside and the earth is shaking for a good, I don't know, minute or so. Anyways, so earthquakes, not all they are cranked up to be, for sure. So in any event, a big one, though, is not something I would ever want to go through. But I think the the beginning of an earthquake in terms of the economy, in terms of money, in terms of all these things are on their way. Just to give you an idea of the prices today, gold is up $9.50 to around $13,1250. Silver is up 20 cents, $17.11. It broke the $17 mark. Look, this is a significant move. You've had silver confirm gold. Gold breaks $1,300. Silver breaks $17. I think that you're going to see a narrowing of the gold to silver ratio for sure. Right now it's around 77 and change. That's going to come way down. I think that the dollar is still going to be going up against the European currencies, the world currencies, because part of the tax bill is very pro-dollar friendly, because investment in the U.S. is definitely on an upswing, foreign investment. You're going to see a lot of companies building plants here, and they're going to do it because the dollar has come down a bit. It was down 11%, 12% last year, and it's going to fuel an investment response with lower taxes, with the prospect of territorial taxation. I think you're going to see a huge influx of foreign money. At the same time, interest rates are going to go up, purportedly. I don't think they're going to go up that much, but maybe a couple of times. Maybe they'll go up 7,500 basis points. But that in turn will also attract additional money here. But at the same time, precious metals going to go up. Maybe the advance will go into February and kind of peter out then till the third quarter. But I've heard it now from four cycle people who I really trust. Martin Armstrong, he said it could go down and break 1,000, but he's been saying that a long time, not happening in my opinion. Our good friend Eric Haddock, I recommend you go back and listen to our last interview from last week. It was a great interview. Eric has been totally on the money about gold for years now. I first met him in 2014, and since that time, his calls on gold have been totally on the money, so to speak. Silver is going to get pulled along with gold, and then it's going to eclipse gold. Cryptocurrencies, you know, they're not going anywhere either. But there is going to be a governmental response, in my opinion, in 2018. And that response is going to make them less attractive. It will drive out the people with the real money, the baby boomers. Hey, the banks don't care about restrictions or anything else. All the banks care about is that they get their cut and that they're in on the game. But there's so many cryptos and so little time and so little, I don't know, sanity in the market. So that leads us to next thing. I wrote an article called Bitcoin Bubbling Over. It's the dopamine stupid. So look, being invested both emotionally and financially in a bubble can be one of the most euphoric, happy, and ultimately disastrous occasions in one's life. During my lifetime, I participated in three bubbles. The first was the dot-com boom. Next, the real estate bubble, which crashed in 08, and the 2011 precious metal bubble. And I can tell you that it is the most blissful experience that you will ever encounter on the way up. And the current cryptocurrency bubble is no different, except this time, I've got a little participation in it, but I'm not all excited and crazed about it. I wish I put more in because I'd be selling a lot of it now. I'd be selling half my position, but I would have never stayed in, at least in a meaningful way, up to where it is now. But all the signs are out there. Exponential growth to the upside. More and more buzz in the public forum. People mortgaging their homes. I don't know if this is true or not, or if it's apocryphal, and the promise of instant riches for no work or effort. In earlier times, Benjamin Graham, who you know well is the father of value investing, used to say, when the elevator operator and the shoeshine boy are giving you stock tips, it's time to head for the exits. That expression needs to be updated for the 21st century. When the Uber driver is pushing Ethereum tokens and the pole dance teacher has become a cryptocurrency guru, it just might be a good time to sell. Bubbles or speculative booms are a staple of human existence. Tulip mania, the first recorded bubble, took place in Holland from 1634 to 1637. While accounts of this incident are at odds, many later historians saying that the original description of it was limited only to the wealthier merchant class, there's no question that tulip bulbs became an item of treasure. And while they were easily grown and replicated, there was no limit upon their future supply. This delusion ended with a bang. But regardless of the contested details, tulip bulbs did lose nearly all their value. And next were the South Sea Bubble, the Mississippi Land Company, and countless others since then. Thomas McKay, in his book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, goes into a comprehensive study of bubbles occurring up to the 1800s. What is it about the human psyche that there is a need to participate in these mass delusional events? And I postulate that perhaps the answer is metabolic. Participating in a bubble is extremely intoxicating. It's a real high. It makes you believe that you are invincible and that you can do anything. There's a reason why bipolar disorder used to be named manic depression. Bubbles start out slowly and they build up into incredible manias that suck in often millions of people, and they invariably end in depression, both personal and economic. The human need for the dopamine transmitter, the dopamine neurotransmitter, that's an established medical fact. While it serves numerous purposes, dopamine, biggest is its involvement in reward-motivated behavior. Most types of rewards increase the level of dopamine in the brain, and many addictive drugs increase dopamine neuronal activity. It induces or triggers euphoric mental states in human beings. The brain's pleasure center just can't get enough of this stuff. So perhaps bubbles occur because of the human's insatiable desire for more dopamine instead of, as commonly believed, financial externalities. I think, in my opinion, the financial externality is a rationalization to engage in behavior and mental states that will greatly up the level of dopamines in the human brain. And nothing triggers dopamine production like a financial bubble. Bubbles feel wonderful when they're going up. But from personal experience, I can tell you that one of the most painful experiences in life is watching them pop, especially when you haven't sold your stocks, precious metals, or real estate, or perhaps even Bitcoin. It's a law of physics and of financial markets that what goes up must come down. That doesn't mean that they won't go up again, even higher than before. Look, since its inception, the U.S. stock market has had many crashes, but still it has continued on its upward trajectory. We now find it at record levels. Sometimes the crashes bring down to a pre-level basis that lasts for a significant period of time, such as 1929. You know, 1929, that crash, it took 25 years. That means 1954 for stocks to go back and recover their prior pre-1929 level. Other times, a crash is just a one-day affair, such as the crash of 1987, August 19th or 29th, 1987. Remember it well. The market rebounded almost immediately. Regardless, surplus dopamine production, combined with an already irrational mental state, stops most people from truly understanding what's happened. If something feels good, human nature wants to keep it going for as long as forever. But alas, all good things must come to an end, and bubbles invariably do. And the cryptocurrency bubble will no doubt be one of them. What should one do? How can you make the bubble work for you? It's really quite simple. At their core, all bubble participants hold an unrealistic belief that the market will increase to infinity. They believe that on the off-handed chance a decline begins, there will be a signal enabling a profitable sale of holdings. However, from personal experience, it never quite works out this way. Early bubble entrants must have an exit strategy after capturing a 10 to 20 fold paper profit. It is essential that you sell a meaningful portion of your holdings, perhaps as much as half, to lock in a profit and recapture your original basis. Can't emphasize this enough. The natural inclination is always to hold out for more, and that's fine. If you sold half your holdings and the market does in fact go to infinity, as many Bitcoin enthusiasts believe, such as Andrew Hoffman, you're still left holding half of infinity. And trust me, from past experiences, half of infinity is much better and more dopamine producing than a giant zero or loss. But this requires a rational disposition, something most bubblers just don't possess. It requires a level and a degree of introspection and perception of reality that 98% of the population is just incapable of. However, it is essential that you learn this lesson before it's too late. Understand there is no anti-crypto currency bias in these words. They have a bright future due to their usefulness and potential to revolutionize economies across the globe. However, that doesn't mean that we aren't now experiencing a bubble. It's gotten to the point that the 1637-year tulips look like a wise investment by comparison. You've got to shake your head and wonder. So better to take your profit now and let the other half ride, as the old Wall Street saw says, you'll never go broke taking a profit. The wisdom is universally correct, and there's no doubt that many of you reading will learn about it only too well, perhaps in another 6 months to a year, once the bubble has popped. You'll then wonder why you didn't act. Well, Happy New Year again. By the way, this is Triple Lutz, episode number 437. Hey, love you all. Keep listening. This is going to be an amazing year, and I'm so happy we're going to do it together. So just go over to the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. Join the show. Be a part of 2018 with us. The Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Happy New Year, all. Kerry Lutz signing off.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.